Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. She's coming to town in a month or so, but we just couldn't wait. We had to get this lady on the air. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, founder with Rare Cat Wines, Miss Sharon Harris. How are you?
I am thrilled to be talking to you today. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Sharon, before we get too far into this, can we talk about Rare Cat? How'd that come about?
Well, so I owned two other wineries prior to starting Rare Cat. I had gone back, a California girl from kind of born and raised, but I had gone back to the University of Bordeaux and studied winemaking from 2004 to 2006. And when I moved back to St. Helena, so which is Napa Valley, decided to launch Rare Cat in about 2008. And it really had some specific goals in mind for me. It was really about focusing on trying to make single vineyard world-class wines, marrying kind of this perspective of American personality with a very French palate and French winemaking experience to produce really small, beautiful, elegant wines. And that's the genesis of Rare Cat.
Now, what about winemaking in general? How did that come about? Were you always involved in wine growing up?
No. In fact, I use the detail about my family that I think says it all. My parents used to put vodka in their watermelon. So I definitively do not come from a winemaking family. Great entertainers, like absolutely owned the 60s and 70s, you know, just beautiful cocktail parties. But really, there was just no wine, wine anywhere in my family at all. And so I was at a very young age, which is even a little bit crazier, but I was obsessed with speaking French. I am not French. I do not come from a French region. I do not come from a town with French people. But somewhere along the lines, I became obsessed with speaking French, told my parents I was going to graduate early from high school and move to France. That didn't work well for me. But I did go to UCLA and ended up qualifying to go my junior year abroad to France. And to be honest, I thought all of France was Paris. There was no concept that when I was doing my third year abroad, it was going to be anywhere else other than Paris. And I got sent to Bordeaux. So 20 years old, show up in Bordeaux, 1983, and absolutely hook, line, and sinker changed my life. And I have been obsessed, passionate, in love with wine and food and the whole art of, I guess, the joie de vivre lifestyle of bringing people together to break bread and share wine with great conversation since I was 20 years old.
So you find that wine is better to bring people together than watermelon with vodka?
Yeah. Yes, sir, I do. I do. I do think that wine is the most powerful tool to connect people. I've seen it my entire life, but it's been true for about 5,000 years. I mean, wine has been the tool that is cross-gender, is cross-culture, is cross-politics. It just is something that allures people to the table, and you can see it in their body language. Just one little glass is like this elixir that starts great conversations, and people relax and start to enjoy each other's company. So I have to say that I think it is a profound tool to bring people together, and I've seen it over and over in my entire work career and my entire personal career. And in fact, I was joking a little bit earlier when I was an executive in technology. I used to say that no one really wanted to talk to me, but now that I own a winery and I'm a winemaker, I can go anywhere in the United States and there are people who like me.
Now, part of Rare Cat's mission, though, isn't it there's an element of community building and maybe even women's empowerment?
Yes, absolutely. So the vision for Rare Cat, and I think about 4 years ago, I bought out my partner, Rare Cat, and I think at that point in time, I really had to sit down and think about what was the heart and soul of Rare Cat. What did it need to represent? Who was it? And who was I? And how was that going to be reflected through this winery? And for me, to be honest, wine has never, I feel it's my obligation to make the most beautiful wines possible that I can possibly do with the resources that I have at hand. But I don't always find the conversation about tannins and components of wines all that exciting. But what I do believe is that I can create extraordinary memories. I can bring people together. That to me, the value of wine has always been about what happens when one opens and shares it. So from that thinking comes our, I guess, our vision and our mission is to use wine to impact positive change. And so I literally, I got in a rental car, bless Enterprise, for giving me a big Suburban, and I am driving across the United States to 23 cities in 2.5 months in a car. I actually don't really know how to drive, nor do I really know how to back it up, but with a compelling mission to use wine to elevate women, to promote diversity, and to connect people with respectful civil conversations across the at a table. And so along that way so far, we've probably raised over $100,000 for different charities because wine is one of the most powerful tools to help raise money. I mean, certainly Atlanta knows that with the high auction being so profoundly successful in raising money for charities in Atlanta, but we see it over and over. I think the second thing is I've worked with corporations across the U.S., really focusing on the concept and the knowledge and the fact that diverse boards and diverse executive suites are profoundly more successful. 40 to 65% companies with diverse boards are 40 to 65% more successful. It's a fact. It's not arguable. And so helping companies wrap around the concept of diversity and elevating women, not in an us versus them scenario, but in a bridging scenario, using wine as a tool to bring people to the table. Certainly private wine events as a small elite wineries, we only sell direct to consumers. So we have been profoundly lucky to have clients invite us to private wine events and where we get to showcase and share our wines with people interested in joining our clubs and joining our allocations. And the last thing is, you know, getting to share this message, the power of community and building community through wine, you know, on the radio and on TV and in the press. And I think it's a message that seems to be resonating everywhere in the United States right now. So I'm pretty happy to be on the road right now.
Can we talk a little bit about this Rare Cat Society and the society clubs that I guess are popping up all over?
Yeah, it really has been come that. Well, Rare Cat, so we have a couple things, a couple elements of our business. We have, I like to call it Rare Cat Wines, which is our block and tackle. We're a wine producer. We make single vineyarded state wines from three extraordinary regions around the world. We make wines in Napa Valley, we make wines in Bordeaux, France, and we make wines in Champagne. And that may not seem so unique, but I'm the only American woman producing single vineyard wines in three regions. It's not common for an American woman to produce wines in some of the most elite regions of the world in Bordeaux and France. So that is outside of the box thinking and something I think is really unique about what we do, and we bring those direct to people in the United States. We have the second division of our company called Rare Cat Pro, and it's really the division that focuses on using wine to connect people with purpose, and that's our educational corporate division. And that's where we are fortunate to go into banks and accounting companies and insurance companies and tech companies and anywhere that wants to associate their powerful brand and connect people, and especially connect women, we have the ability to do that for them. And with 7 years of experience, we really understand how to elevate events and bring people to the table and help them engage with brands. So those are the two focuses, the two primary focuses of Rare Cat, our Rare Cat winery business and our Rare Cat Pro business.
And that's part of the Rare Cat tour where you're going around to different markets around the country?
Yeah, yes, sir. So last night, for instance, we had an extraordinary opportunity. A company, Thomson Reuters, very powerful company. They have a division called Risky Women. It's about building community, peer-to-peer networking, engaging, and educating a group of people within a certain subject. We were able to utilize and do a private wine event at one of the most, probably one of the most successful female chefs in America, Barbara Lynch's restaurant number 9 in Boston. You know, we like to walk the walk. If I'm going to talk about elevating women within companies, I'm also going to talk about trying to use corporate dollars to support different women's owned restaurants and women owned chefs across the way. So we've had the chance to engage and work in events at different locations around the U.S. so far. Salt in Cleveland, a brilliant James Beard runner-up with two women who own a brilliant restaurant in Cleveland. Certainly Barbara Lynch, who has probably one of the most successful chefs in America today. And so, you know, last night there were about 40 women. We did an educational program. Don't Give Up the Wine List is a trademark, very powerful seminar I developed about 7-8 years ago. And we're able to engage people in conversation around empowering women and bringing women to the table and talking about how do you take control once you're there. And it was just a fantastic event, using wine, food, and community to help elevate women within a certain segment of an industry. So that's a very similar. We'll be doing that for law firms in New York. We do that for banks. We do that. You name it. We've worked with Merrill Lynch. We've worked with major banks. We've worked with major insurance companies. And so it's really an exciting opportunity for us to use wine as a tool to connect people with purpose. And that's the core part of RareCat Pro.
And then, so at one of these events, like I know you mentioned earlier that you're coming to Atlanta in mid-May, I think May 17th, for a few days. Is that part of this tour in that you're going to be setting up shop in one of these locations?
So we have, I will be honest with you, when we first started this 23-city tour and the dates across America, the first plan was only to be in Atlanta for 4 days. We are actually in Atlanta for 4 nights doing 4 private events at different private locations. And interestingly enough, we will be in Atlanta longer than any other city, doing more events than anywhere else we will be. So I'm profoundly lucky to have some amazing support within Atlanta through some great clients who seem to be champions for our brands. And so one of the events we're doing is just exactly in our sweet spot. It's at VinVault, which is a great high-end storage location. They work with they do all the work for high auction. They work with major wine collectors. They are a provider of support for fine wine collectors in Atlanta. And we have been able to partner with some brilliant women from Ren and Rock who make very elite, beautiful handbags. And they use those handbags to donate back to survivors of sexual assault and rape. And they raise money for survivors. And so here is that perfect trifecta where we are raising money for some important causes. We are sharing and building community at a very important local spot in Atlanta, and we have a chance to showcase our wines within that environment. So that's a typical type of event that we are able to do. And I could not be more thrilled than to work with VinVault and Ren Rock to raise important funds for an important cause, but also have the chance to showcase our wines to potential people who want to be part of our RareCat community and join some of our clubs and some of our allocations.
Now, how does that come about? How do these firms contact you, or you contact them about these events throughout the tour?
Yeah, so up to date, you know, being a very small winery, it has been profoundly interesting to me that we've worked now with tens and tens of some of the most important companies across America. And it's all been organic. It has all been word of mouth. Someone has come and participated in a seminar that I've done, and they've gone back to their company, or they've come out to visit me, or they've met me at a different event and really loved, you know, I guess the message that I'm trying to talk about, community of elevating women, promoting diversity. And they've gotten back to their companies and asked to engage my services for their companies. So up until now, it literally has been organic growth, word to word, a spread of just word to word. We don't advertise. We don't go after wine ratings. We haven't done any marketing, but we've seen 100% growth year to year on our winery. And it's really compelling and heartwarming to see how our message seems to radiate and seems to connect with people. And I think all ultimately the wines are quite beautiful. So I can talk about all these really highfalutin, wonderful things, but if the wines weren't delicious, you know, the message would fall flat. So you have to still start with extraordinary wines, and then you can add on top of that. So I have to say it's all been word of mouth up until now.
And then what happens at one of these events? Is there a speaker? Is it you doing wine tasting? Is it mingling, networking? Is it? Can you share a little bit about what goes on?
Sure, absolutely. It depends. And I will say it depends. Each event is really unique and curated specifically for that specific goal and purpose. In a corporate setting, it is not unusual to have three aspects of a corporate setting, you know, where there's a networking opportunity where people come in and have a chance to engage and build community and have peer-to-peer networking with the group of people who are invited by whoever the host is. And to move into, I call it an information transfer, kind of a seminar setting where, you know, I am fortunate enough not only to be an executive in technology with business experience, but also a winemaker who makes wines in three regions. So one of my true passions is transferring knowledge and helping to educate people around wine. It's my passion, and to be able to do that seems to be something I'm good at. And then combining that with the goal of getting people to do business together or having people sit down and connect with each other. So usually there's a component at the end where people can mingle and stay and utilize the, you know, the wine to kind of reach out and meet people maybe they don't know. So that's a typical format in a private corporate setting. In a private wine event, it's sometimes if you come and you're invited by someone who knows you and your community to a private event, and we are able to open wines and discuss and talk about the wines and sit down and either pair those with great foods or pair those with a beautiful wine dinner. Tonight, for instance, in Hartford, Connecticut, we are being sponsored by an amazing chef, an amazing man. And it's a sit-down dinner for 20 people. There's 9 courses being paired with 6 of our wines. And the purpose of it is not only to showcase our wines, but to raise money for a very important cause here in Hartford, Connecticut. So it's that perfect trifecta of food, wine, great company, and hopefully doing good, using wine to do good. So I think that's a pretty typical event.
And for you, in your transition from working, I guess, in a corporate environment to owning a vineyard, is it something that you can share that transition, how you went about doing that, and how, you know, you probably went from having just a few contacts and a dream and to be able to make this into a reality?
Absolutely. So I was very fortunate in technology. I had worked on the tech publishing side of technology and ran an international division of a tech publishing company, left and engaged and started with a very young startup. I think I was the 13th employee, a search engine company in the mid-90s. And I was VP of sales for that company. And in fact, that one of the founders was originally from Atlanta, interestingly enough. And so that company went from zero to $36 billion. It was one of the high flyers in the early stages of technology. And to be honest, I was extraordinarily fortunate to trade, you know, some tech stock and to buy 2 other wineries and some vineyard, a property that I planted to vineyard. And then I left. I stepped off the bandwagon and I became a mom, and I decided to get involved with the winery side of our business. And I started to go back to school and study winemaking. So the transition was not instant. It was kind of following kind of that journey that a lot of people are on, where you have a career, you step off to engage in something important like raising kids. And then I'm fortunate to have a passion that I love and to get back engaged in that from a very elite level. So I went back and studied wines. And I will tell you, in your mid-40s, to go to France to study at a very elite wine program in French, it was dauntingly difficult because my brain didn't retain information the way it used to as when I was 20. And so I will say maybe one of the hardest things I ever did was to go back to study wines in French at the University of Bordeaux. And I will feel good about myself to say that I passed with honors, when most foreigners who took that class failed because of just the intensity of the language and the requirement of being able to speak French. After that, I moved to France, I mean, back to Napa, and I started Rarecat in 2008. I think that's really when I started to get my hands very dirty. Starting a brand from conception all the way to first vintage. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I bought out my partner in Rarecat. And to me, that's when the transition to full-blown wine, a winery owner, to a winemaker, to selling, to washing glasses, to working harder than I think I've ever worked in my entire life before, because it's all I wanted to do, probably happened. So I am doing something I love. I pick grapes. Those grapes get converted to alcohol. I put those in a bottle and people open it and love it. And that still never leaves me, that power that you get transformed from something that's grown into something that's desirable to drink, it still blows me away. And then I get to share that passion with people across the United States, and it's a dream come true. But I work very hard at making that dream a viable business, if you could say that. So,
now, what was the thinking behind keeping it as a boutique and then doing these private, kind of private tastings and private this tour and being this kind of human to human interaction with your customers and fans, as opposed to like, I'm going to go to a, get it through, more traditional distribution?
Yeah, I think that's actually profoundly, it's one of the most interesting questions that I think that was presented, that most interesting question. And I think it's driven by personality. I think it's driven by what wine means to me. And it's also probably driven by the components of the wine industry. The wine industry is the big part of the wine industry. The wine industry is about $37 to $39 billion. And the vast majority of that is on the beverage side of the industry where, when you go to the supermarket, you go to really large wine stores and you find brands. There's about 10,000 brands out there. That's where the big money is. And that side of the industry is profoundly profitable, or it can be. And it tends to be focused on finance, operations, logistics. So it's about moving a lot of volume at small margins through kind of established pipes. That's kind of that class. Same thing for Coca-Cola, same thing for milk, same thing for water, same thing for those, for beverages. It's a big business. I think that's not what I do well. I think you have to know what your white spot is, and I think you have to figure out what you do well. For me, wine has always been about the connection with people. It's always been about creating relationships. It's always been about the ability to meet and engage with people and have access to people because of wine. And so part of it is driven by the fact that I don't know how to make great wines in large quantities. I know how to make great wines in small quantities. And I love people. And for me, the great pleasure is getting to connect with people everywhere in the United States. And I have friends everywhere, thanks to wine. And so I guess that human connection is what is authentic to who I am, and part of that heart-to-heart connection. And I think that money is maybe not my driver. I certainly am very serious. It's not a hobby for me. I want to create a wine brand, and I have been able to create a wine brand that's sustainable and profitable. But beyond that, to me, it's about giving back. It's about doing good work. It's about using wine as a tool to impact change. That's where I guess I get my greatest satisfaction. And so to me, those are the drivers for why I've decided to keep Rarecat small. It will not get much bigger, and to use the models that I've used. And, the other fact is distributors don't want to work with small brands. So being forced to think about unique ways to come to market. Luckily, I have a very creative brain, and I come from technology. So using innovation to figure out how to do what I loved, but not within the normal path, was something that I had to do, because ultimately distributors don't want to work with small brands. So, figuring it out was something that was going to be important for the viability of Rarecat.
Now, for the consumer to get your wines, what are the ways that they can do it? They can go physically to your location in Napa, right? That's a choice to do it that
way. Well, I always laugh because, to be honest, no, they can't. We are not open to the public in Napa Valley. It is interesting that these private wine events, when we're sponsored in someone's, is really truly a phenomenal way for us to engage and share our wines with people. People could come to our website, which is rarecatwines.com. That's RARECATWINES.com. And they're able to sign up for our clubs and allocations. We're pretty close to being fully allocated. So engaging with us in a relationship through our clubs and allocation is the best way to get access to our wines. We do have some of our wines online that through private links to the store, our clients can purchase those direct. You know, interestingly enough, people call us and we actually take their order. And so we still believe in that kind of one-to-one customer service. So with most of our clients, we have that one-to-one conversation about what they're interested in having, what they want for their clubs each year before we ship. So we have a phone number that people can call and we call them back and we actually take orders and help people understand what wines are best suited to their personality, their palate, and what they're interested in ordering. So call us 707-968-5031, come to our website, or you can shoot me an email at Sharon@rarecatwines.com and I'll actually respond to you.
Now, what about the Audrey Club? Is that another? That's another way to get the wine.
So rare cat means a woman of such magnificent beauty; she's a rarity. So a rare cat means a rare beauty, and the reason why that name, when I found that name at 3:30 in the morning on Urban Dictionary, it resonated with me because I have had the great fortune to drink amazing and some of the most beautiful wines produced in the world. And to me, the greatest wines are always so elusive. They're so beautifully put together. They're almost indescribable. But if you've had the chance to drink one of these magnificent wines, very often what you'll find is they give you a little hint of who they are that kind of drives you a bit crazy. So for me, that was always a temptress. That was, of course, inherently feminine. So when I found the name Rare Cat, it just resonated with me in terms of types of wines I wanted to make. Elusive beauties, complex, elegant, balanced, and just a touch of a hint to drive you back to that glass. And so, of course, when I think about a Rare Cat, inspired by one of the greatest beauties I think ever is Audrey Hepburn. Her charity, her graciousness, her power, but her beauty just, to me, typified. It was an inspiration for me about what I wanted my club to represent. So the Audrey Club is inspired by her. It's a case a year, two shipments. People get to curate what they want, but they also have access to one of our very iconic Napa Valley Hillside cabs. But in addition to that, we also support charities of our wine members, which is that charitable component so important to our brand. And lots of other things. So the Audrey Club is the primary way to engage in our community and connect with us. And then we also have allocations, which are a case a year of a wine that people get once a year, and that's a guaranteed case. So it makes sure that they get access to some of our wines, which are becoming a little bit harder to get because of over-demand and not enough supply. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sharon, it has been an absolute delight having you visit with us this afternoon. Truly a rare cat. We got to go here in just a minute, but I sure hope you'll look us up when you swing through Atlanta.
I would love to look you up. I hope that I get to see you when I'm in Atlanta, and I have a few quests I think I've shared with you. So I am looking for some great information from experts in food and wine and fun in Atlanta.
Well, you won't have to look too far because we're going to make ourselves very easy to find. Thank you so much. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you for your time today and having me on board today.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Sharon Harris, founder of Rare Cat Wines, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.